Turning your Bibles, if you will, to the Great Commission. We continue our study in the Great Commission. We looked briefly over the Great Commission from Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20, and then looked at it from all the different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the different commissions that Jesus gave to the disciples after he rose from the dead. We're going to go back to the Gospel of Matthew and consider this Great Commission and all of the great and practical truths that we can gain by it. And this morning we're going to talk about the vital importance of the Great Commission, the absolute need that we might be not only motivated but inspired to see how important our work is, to be, as it were, the light of the world, to make disciples. Matthew records, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." The importance of the Great Commission. You know, there are many important jobs in the world today. We recognize that some are more important than others. And I think that it wouldn't be difficult for all of us to think and consider that there are quite a number of jobs in our own nation and countries in the world that are completely worthless or even ungodly. But we know the world is full of labor. The world is full of labor. What are we doing? What is our labor? And how do we labor for the Lord? Now, thankfully, all of our labor, if it is lawful and honest labor, being through Christ sanctified by the Word of God in prayer, it's a profit, it's a value, it's important, it has purpose, and it brings glory to God. But we must always see that our work and labor is first and foremost devoted to Christ's kingdom and the fulfilling of the Great Commission. Because that is the labor that sanctifies all our labor. That's the great work and the great commission that Jesus has charged not only the apostles, but all of his disciples to advance his kingdom and glory in the world. You see, no state or kingdom, no corporate empire, no sports team or promotional company in the world, and certainly no private calling is more important, more valuable, and certainly more essential to the world than the work of the Great Commission. This is the greatest labor. And this is the work that we've been given to do as the disciples of Jesus Christ, to support, to serve, to advance, and to fulfill this great work, the Great Commission. Because all the work and the labor that we have that is devoted to God ought to be for this end, ought to be for the advance of His glory, the building of His kingdom, and the making of disciples for Jesus Christ. Our service and our labor ought to be for Christ. John Owen said this, "Every man's calling and labor is vain apart from the service and support that they render to Christ and to His kingdom and glory." I need to see that, of course, that our labor is important, but to bring glory to God and the advance of His kingdom is our first and priority. And we should see that from Scripture and how important this is in the work of the Great Commission. How vital it is. It's for this reason that here Matthew records that after rising from the dead and affirming his sovereign authority over all of heaven and earth, Jesus gives to the disciples this solemn charge and commission, which we know as the Great Commission to the disciples, to make disciples of all the nations, to preach the word to all the world, and to bring all things in submission to Christ's kingship and authority. It's the building of the kingdom of God by the preaching of the gospel that is the most important labor that Christ calls us to. Because, of course, kingdoms shall rise and fall. Empires and corporations and labor must end. The Great Commission, of course, has its climax, has its purpose in advancing Christ's glory in all the world. This is the charge that Jesus, therefore, gives to his disciples before his departure and ascension into heaven. This is the charge and commission that is the culmination of his life, his ministry, his miracles, his parables, his teaching, his suffering on the cross, and of course his resurrection from the dead. This is what sanctions all of our life, all of our labor, all of our work. And so everything that we do in life and labor and work has value and importance in that it advances Christ's kingdom and glory. And really, nothing has any value. No work, no labor. As Solomon says, it's all vain, unless it is for the glory of God and for the purpose of advancing Christ's kingdom. And so let us set ourselves and consider this morning the vital importance of the Great Commission, showing the urgent need for the worldwide preaching of the gospel, and why the church needs to fulfill the Great Commission. Why we need to be zealous. Because if you see from the context here, we can see several reasons from the Gospel of Matthew and Jesus' charge to the disciples, the urgent need, the vital necessity for the Great Commission. Now, I initially wrote down 20 reasons, but we'd be here all day. But so I thought, what are the most important 8 that are of practical value and drawn from Scripture? So here are 8 important reasons why there is an urgent need for all of us, all disciples of Jesus Christ, to be committed to fulfilling the Great Commission. Notice, first of all, because of the multitudes of lost souls that are going to hell. Beloved, there is an urgent need to fulfill the Great Commission simply because there are multitudes, millions, billions of people that are lost in this world in sin, in darkness, and without Christ, and without being brought to salvation and being made disciples, they're going to hell. That's why Jesus gave the disciples this charge and this Great Commission. The Great Commission is Christ's call to make disciples, to win converts, to bring sinners to repentance and faith in Christ, to bring them to salvation, eternal life, and out of darkness by the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And the Great Commission is a commission to bring the light of salvation through Jesus Christ to all the ends of the earth, to every individual, but to all the nations of the world. And so, beloved, is there anything more important in the world than that? Is there any more important work than to see people saved and disciples? Is there any work or enterprise in the world that is being accomplished that has more eternal value? More personal blessing that is sanctioned by God that is more important? There's nothing. The Great Commission brings lost souls to salvation, to be made disciples, to be brought to Christ and to be saved, to inherit a kingdom of glory. And so we're to disciple the nations. We're to make disciples. Lest they are brought to judgment and down to hell. And so this is the reason for which Christ came into the world. This is the reason for his suffering and death. This is the reason why he rose from the dead, that the gospel would be preached to all the world. He came to save sinners and bring them under the rule of his word and kingdom. He came to establish his kingdom in the world so that people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation would not only serve and worship him, but have eternal life through him. In Matthew 18:11, Jesus said, "I am come to seek and to save that which is lost." And so the Great Commission is a commission and a charge in a world of sin, a world of darkness, a world of misery. Jesus sent his disciples out into the world to seek and to save that which is lost, to preach the gospel, to make disciples of those who are in bondage to sin and false religion, but are otherwise going to judgment. And we should see that. We should be motivated. We should see the vital importance of the Great Commission in the world for that very reason. Consider how many people in the world there are today in relationship to before. You know, ever in the history of the world, there are more people living in the world today. And the vast majority of them are lost. And what great reason, then, is it for us to fulfill the Great Commission and be devoted to making disciples? In Matthew 6, Jesus warned the people, saying, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who are going in by it. Because narrow is the gate and hard is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." The way to salvation through Christ is straight and narrow. The broad way leads to destruction. The making of disciples, therefore, is vitally important. The building of Christ's kingdom, the bringing in of lost souls, the building of Christ's church. In Matthew 9, Jesus said to the disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." See, Jesus wants laborers. He wants ministers, missionaries, preachers to go out and preach the word. We don't have enough ministers and preachers in the world. We need thousands more. We need to pray. There are millions of people in the world that are lost and under the wrath and curse of God. And if they should die, and millions die every day, right? We need to fulfill the Great Commission because of the multitudes, the multitudes, the multitudes. In Matthew 11, Jesus looked over the multitudes in Jerusalem, and he wept. because they were as lost sheep without a shepherd. In Joel 3:14, the prophet Joel says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near when he will sit to judge the nations, when the wicked will be turned into hell." Right? And so that should motivate us. Listen to what Isaiah says. Isaiah 5:14 says, "Hell has enlarged itself and opens its mouth beyond measure, and all the nations and their pomp shall flow into it, and the Lord shall be exalted in judgment." Beloved, the Lord will be exalted in judgment, but we should have pity on the nations as Christ had pity on the people. And so there's an urgent need, a vital and desperate need, because of the lost. Henry Bollinger said this, "There are countless souls that are lost in this world without Jesus Christ, ignorant of his saving doctrine. And so the first work and business that we are called to as Christians is certainly this great work of making disciples. Making disciples of his by the preaching and teaching of the Word of God." How important is the preaching of the gospel and the making of disciples, right? Salvation comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. And so there's an urgent need, a desperate need, a vital need. And every day we should consider this. In our prayers, in our service, in our life, in our work, that our labors, that all that we labor for is under this impulse, the desire to fulfill the Great Commission. The hymn says, "Pity the nations, O our God, and constrain the earth to come. Send thy victorious word abroad, and bring the strangers home." Right? We should be our desire to fulfill the Great Commission because of the multitudes of the lost. Right? Notice, secondly, though, the incredible need for faithful preaching today. There is an urgent need to fulfill the Great Commission because of the incredible lack of truth and sound doctrine and preaching in the world, and the importance of it. Jesus came preaching the Word of God. Jesus sent the disciples out preaching the gospel to make disciples. And the great reason why there are so many people lost in sin and blinded by false religion, idolatry, cults, because they have no preacher. Right? Certainly, there are many today who resist the Word of God and listen to false teachers and liars. But salvation comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's for this reason that Jesus sent the disciples out into the world to preach the gospel. Salvation and discipleship comes by the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And so when Jesus gave the disciples the Great Commission, he commissioned them to preach. To preach and teach the Word of God. The commission to preach and teach the gospel. So Jesus commissions them. And in this prayer, and under the recognition that there is a need, a desperate need, for those to be sent out, right? The harvest is plentiful. But pray that God would send out laborers into the harvest. You see, ministers have an office and a commission and charge to fulfill in preaching the Word of God. And the Word of God makes disciples. We see this throughout the Gospel, of course. Jesus made disciples by all of his preaching, by teaching his many sermons that are recorded in the Gospel. But discipleship is following Christ. It is a hearing of the Word of God, taking up the cross, learning to obey the Word of God. It is shutting our ears to false teachers and listening to Christ's Word. That's what making disciples. So making disciples means that there needs to be preachers. There needs to be teachers. In the book of Acts, therefore, we see the centrality of preaching and teaching and the conversion of the lost and the building of Christ's church. Disciples went out preaching the Word. In fact, Luke even says, when he says that the church was built up, it says the Word of God increased. Well, that's interesting because Luke, in the book of Acts, says that the Word of God increased. When the church is built up, it means the Word of God increases. Not entertainment. Not shows. The Word of God. And so there's a vital need for the Great Commission today because there's a need for preachers, teachers, to be sent out. Right now we have quite a many in America. But we need a vast amount more. We need faithful preachers and teachers. We want to see our nation and we want to see the world filled with sound doctrine, filled with truth, sermons, teachings, homilies, lectures, apologetical discourses, prophetic denunciations, theological discourses, all that exalt Jesus Christ as Lord and King. Right? Look at the world today. Look at the liberalism. Look at the media. Right? There are maybe one faithful preacher for the 1,000 liberal media that spread forth their lies, like pundits and so forth. Then you'd be preachers. Martin Luther said the ministry of Jesus Christ is exalted and his righteous kingdom established in the world by the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. And so throughout the gospel, Jesus placed a great emphasis on the ministry and the sad condition of those who are without the faithful preaching and teaching of the gospel. He spoke of those who sat in darkness and have no light. He said the people are sheep without a shepherd. He said the hearts of these people are dull and their heart is hearing. He warned the people the danger of being led by the blind leading the blind and both falling into the ditch. That's why the Great Commission is so important. We're bringing light into darkness. We're bringing truth into a world of error. The knowledge of Christ where there is ignorance. The kingdom of wisdom and of righteousness into the kingdom of sin and of the devil. It's not difficult to see when you turn on the television and you see the world that there is a whole lot of lies, untruth, ignorance, spiritual darkness. And so, beloved, we should be deeply concerned, right, for the advance and the spread of truth, the gospel of Christ. And if we don't do it, then we better support it, right, because there's a desperate need for preachers, teachers, the faithful ministry of the Word of God, because there are just so many liberals, there's so many false teachers, so many psychologists and propagandists and pundits, all who undermine the truth of the gospel. Sadly, even those sometimes profess to believe the gospel are those that pervert it. And so we need to hear the preaching of the Word that makes disciples, builds disciples, sanctifies disciples, blesses disciples. Jesus said, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. And this is why the Great Commission is so important, because the incredible need of truth, the incredible need of faithful preaching, the dissemination of the gospel of Christ in the midst of a world of darkness, liberalism, false doctrine. And then notice, thirdly, because of the growing opposition to Christ in our nation. Now we can see this, there is an urgent need to fulfill the Great Commission because of the growing influence of false religion and paganism in our culture. The opposition that is made against Christ, not just politically, not just against pro-life and against conservative values, but it made against those who believe the Word of God and the kingship of Christ. Jesus said to the disciples, go and make disciples of all the nations. Now, sometimes we forget the context of what Jesus said. When Jesus said to the disciples, what do you think the disciples thought at first when he said the word nations? Right? The goyim, the Gentiles, the idolaters of the world. Antioch, Rome, Alexandria, Egypt, Babylon, Ephesus, and Asia Minor. Beloved, Jesus was commissioning the disciples to go and confront the pagan world with the truth of Christ's death and resurrection, the gospel of his kingship. Who? The nations, the unbelievers, all those who are fiercely devoted to pagan idols, blasphemous rituals, and a great deal of moral depravity. Right? That was the Great Commission in its proper context. And so the Great Commission is set against a world of opposition. Jesus says, you can expect, therefore, persecution. Expect opposition. Christians will be persecuted. That's why the disciples were persecuted for preaching the truth. Jesus was himself persecuted by the religious leaders of Israel. There were many who opposed his preaching and teaching. He didn't get past 3 years of preaching and teaching until he was crucified. Consider that. But his preaching and teaching only lasted so long. Why? Because the religious leaders hated it. Because he spoke the truth. In Matthew 5, Jesus said to the disciples, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Just as they persecuted the prophets who were before you, you go in a line of prophets. Right? But we should expect opposition. In the world we will have tribulation, Jesus says. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In Matthew 10, when Jesus sent the disciples out preaching throughout Israel, he warned them, prepared them, that they would receive opposition, right? We're going to face opposition in the world. The righteous will be persecuted because we live in increasingly secularized culture that opposes Christ, that opposes Christian values, that opposes Christian doctrine, opposes Christian morals, derided by liberals and secularists. And this makes for a culture and a generation of evildoers. And yet we're to be as wise as serpents, and as harmless as doves, shining as lights in the world, to be the light of the world, that's difficult. That's why we need the Great Commission, right? Because there's a world of opposition. A culture and a generation. Think of the generation. We live in a culture of sin and idolatry that is not only tottering on economic collapse, but from doctrinal and moral corruption. Right? The Great Depression of the 30s was importantly preceded by the progressive 20s. Right? Do we remember history? You think about the times of apostasy and evil and corruption, the opposition that is made. Right? The 20s turned into the 30s. The opposition that was made against the gospel has brought now our nation to the brink of judgment. Right, that's why the Great Commission is so important. Our nation is on the brink of moral, political, economic failure and collapse. Why? Because of disobeying the Word of God, breaking the commandments of God, despising, blaspheming God. Right? We live in an ungodly culture. A desperate need, therefore, for disciples to bring change, transformation. Our culture and society needs to be redeemed. It needs to see the light of Christians shine the truth of the gospel. We need to be cleansed from sin. I mean, we need to be brought to repentance and transformed by the gospel. But without a zeal and commitment to fulfill the Great Commission, without a commitment to confront sin, instead of what often happens is the church compromising with sin, right? The culture that we live in is headed for not only failure, but divine judgment. And we need to see that. Christians need to understand and see the serious problem today. Not just the economic, that's just a minor thing. It's not just economic, that's just a portion. We can already see certain signs and evidences of impending doom in God's providence. The fires, the floods, the natural disasters, the terrorist attacks, wars, the spread of idolatry, the abominations of sexual morality in our country brought forth AIDS and other pestilences. Men and women today, in many ways, are God-haters, Christ-despisers, unrepentant sinners, and wicked idolaters. That's the generality of our country. That's why we need to disciple the nation. Not just the nations, but our own nation. Because Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We need to shine the light of Christ's word to the nation. Timothy Dwight, during the American Revolution, said the only remedy for a nation and society that is given over to sin and idolatry is the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Christ alone can save sinners as well as revive and reform a nation. Right, that's true. And beloved, fulfilling the Great Commission is the most patriotic duty that we can perform as citizens. That is the most patriotic duty. You know, people can give their lives in service to the government, civil causes, charity, or even their lives in the protection of our country in war. And that's a noble calling. The most noble calling is to give our lives, service, and support for the conversion, redemption, transformation of our nation in the fulfilling of the Great Commission. Because if we can shed our tears for our country in prayer, we should be able to shed our blood in life, right, for the advance of the gospel. Right? To the nations. Make disciples of all the nations. And we live in this nation. And so we have an obligation to it. And then notice fourthly, because of the growing declension and corruption within the church today. Beloved, there is an urgent need to fulfill the Great Commission to make disciples today because of the sad and miserable state of the church. You know, the state of the church is not what it ought to be. And, you know, praise the Lord, there are many Christians, thousands, faithful disciples of Christ throughout the land. But there needs to be a greater commitment and zeal of disciples in obedience to Christ's commandment, who live and serve under Christ's sovereign authority. You see, where's obedience to Christ's commandment? Right? The Great Commission is given to the disciples of the church, not only to win some converts, but to make disciples. And disciples are those who come under the authority of Christ and learn all that Jesus has commanded them. My beloved, there are thousands of churches and unbelievers in the world that think they're Christian. Right? They're religious. They don't know the gospel. Right? That's why there are so many exhortations throughout the gospel that Jesus gave to the disciples about repentance, taking up the cross, and even church discipline. The very word discipline comes from the root word that we get disciple. Without discipline, there's no discipleship, right? But everybody wants what? Numbers, entertainment, and programs, and not discipleship, not discipline, not repentance. That's why there's so much sin, idolatry, the divorce rate within professing believers in the country. It's no different from the unbelievers. Right? Jesus warned, therefore, that there would be both true disciples and false disciples, faithful ministers and false teachers, true churches that honor the Lord, and synagogues of Satan that are totally contrary to the gospel. That's why in Matthew 13, Jesus said that while the sower went out to sow his seed in the field, what? Some believed, but the devil also sowed tares. Right? He warned the disciples of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees with his false doctrine. He said that there would be many who would even profess his name, but they were workers of lawlessness that we would be aware of. He rebuked those who came to him for bread or to be healed, but would not submit to his word and authority. There are thousands of people that want life insurance from Christ, but they do not want to repent and believe the gospel. Right? We need to fulfill the Great Commission, because the Great Commission is today in the church. That's the best mission field, right? There are so many. The greatest mission field today in America is in the church, where there are so many people that aren't believers, right? And so in the fulfilling of the Great Commission, we must remember that Jesus never meant for his church and kingdom, as it is in America, to become defiled by sin, idolatry, false religion, homosexuality, all of the most perverse and wicked sins denounced in both Old and New Testament are commonly accepted in evangelical churches. Hey, the head of the Evangelical Association was just denounced for homosexuality. You see the blasphemy and idolatry and the wickedness of the church today? Right? In Matthew 11, Jesus said, "It's an evil and adulterous generation that seeks after a sign." We live in an evil, a wicked, and adulterous generation. Notwithstanding the influences of conservative politics and many faithful evangelical Christians spreading the gospel, the general degree of the church state today is corrupt, much like the Middle Ages. We need a new reformation, making disciples. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus described the marks of a true disciple and the Beatitudes. True disciple is poor in spirit, meek, humble, mourn over sin, hunger and thirst for righteousness. They're merciful, giving, pure in heart, and they are peacemakers in a world of sin and strife, and they're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Right? Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. He came to fulfill. Those who are disciples that are saved by grace are also called to obey the law. And so Jesus says, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Right? You see, discipleship makes for the Great Commission. The Great Commission is called to make disciples, right? And so we need to see this. We need to see the importance today of making disciples. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, which was a church filled with sin, he says, "Beloved, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Right? Don't be deceived. Though they exist in many numbers throughout churches, don't be deceived. Because it's a sad and miserable state. Right? Because that's not telling them the truth. That's not getting people to get to heaven by denying the gospel. And so we should take the Word of God seriously and be consecrated to truth. Live the Christian life. Be faithful in fulfilling the Great Commission, because today it's more than just a moral depression, it's a spiritual depression in the world. And so we have an obligation, an urgent need for the church to take seriously the Great Commission and make disciples of Jesus Christ, because the church is in many ways corrupted and polluted. Jonathan Edwards said, "Without the faithful preaching and teaching of the Word of God and the making of sincere followers of Christ, the church will languish in sin." The church is languishing. Well, but there are many people that think they're disciples, but they're not. And that's tragic. We need to be faithful. We need to fulfill the Great Commission. Then notice fifthly, of course, the rampant spread of false teachers. There is an urgent need for the church to fulfill the Great Commission today because there are a great many false teachers in the world. Right? The Great Commission is not only a commission to make disciples, but behind that is to expose and confront false teachers. The disciples were officially given the charge here. Notice that Jesus gave the 11 disciples the charge and the commission to make disciples of all the nations. They were officially given as apostles who wrote inspired Scripture, along with others, Paul and Mark and Luke. But the ministry of the gospel is therefore apostolic. It's governed by the infallible authority of God's Word. Right? The doctrine and discipline of the ministry is apostolic. And the church needs to remember that. Jesus promised to the disciples that he would be with them always, even to the end of the age, based on this truth, that they were faithful to the Word of God. Jesus' promise to his people is that they would be faithful to the Word of God. And so Jesus repeatedly warned the danger of false teachers, the opposition of false prophets. There were the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. There were the Herodians. In the early church, there was the Judaizers, the Gnostics, and the Antinomians. There were all different kinds of false teachers that corrupted the church. Right? You can read throughout the New Testament all the different false teachers and heretics that the apostles are writing against and opposing. In fact, you can see in Matthew chapter 28, verses 10 through 15, just before, Matthew records the fact that the chief priests conspired together with some of the guard in order to suppress the truth of the resurrection. Right? They try to suppress the truth of the resurrection. This is done today. You can't imagine how many liberals and heretics that actually say that they are Christian that deny the resurrection. That totally throw it out and misrepresent it, deny it. It's incredible. And this is still going on today in false religions, cults. Look at the cults and the spread of cults today. See, the Great Commission is a commission not only to preach the truth, but to expose the lies of false teachers. And it's to defend the faith against heretics who oppose the gospel. And so to make disciples, well, we have to oppose the errors of the world and false teachers that deny and subvert the gospel, lest others fall prey to false teachers, cults, false religions, because there are so many of them, increased and spread throughout the world. In Matthew 7, Jesus warned the disciples of the false teachers who would be like wolves in sheep's clothing, would pervert the gospel by their evil, their false doctrine, their lawlessness. He said that on the last day, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and do many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus says, I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Lawlessness, I never knew you. See, there are many who even say that they go by the name of Christian, and they preach a false gospel. And Jesus says, on the day of judgment, I'll say, I never knew you. You weren't preaching the faithful word of God for me. You weren't advancing the Great Commission. They were lawless. They were disobedient to the law of God. They had no moral integrity. And in Matthew 11, Jesus therefore warned the disciples, saying the blind will lead the blind and both will fall into the ditch. Well, there are a lot of people today who are falling into the ditch because of false teachers. The apostle Jude therefore says, I exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. The Great Commission is a call to contend earnestly for the faith. Why? Because the time will come, Paul says, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears from the truth. You know, we generally live today in a time of declension because of the spread of false teachers. And we need to be careful. Right? During the Reformation, Martin Luther said this, if the devil imps and apostles are working so hard in the spreading of their lies and false doctrine, how much more zealous ought we to be in the preaching of the gospel and the spreading of God's word? Shall we be at rest and at ease when so much is at stake? God forbid! Should we be at ease when the cults and false religions and false teachers of the day are so zealous? Right? Christians, we should pursue with zeal, with all of our life and our heart, because the influence of false teachers in the world and the church requires it. And then sixthly, notice here the immeasurable profit from our work and investment in the Great Commission. Now consider this important truth, because there is an urgent need to pursue the Great Commission with zeal, because You know, there's no better and more important work than we could be doing, and more profitable investment in our time, in our service, in the use of our resources. The profit from our investment in serving Christ is immeasurable, especially when you consider the great amount of waste that is in the world today. You see, there's no more better way of using our time, our energy, as well as our money and resources than in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Now, when Jesus gave the disciples the charge to make disciples, he gave them a charge not only to preach the gospel, to make disciples, but to redeem the time and to take up the cross and to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And also, of course, the resources there to build the kingdom. And he told them to count the cost. That was going to require a great sacrifice, but there would also be a great reward and blessing. Right? See, the paradox of the gospel is that the more we give, the more we sacrifice for others and for God, the more we are indeed blessed. Right? Jesus humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross, and God also highly exalted him. Now, that's a wonderful pattern for the Christian life, but think of that. That's a pattern for our time and our stewardship. Sacrifice. And, you know, this is important because look at the world that we live in. Look at the crisis that we live in. Look at, sadly, the materialism that has crept on our nation, the greed, the fraud, and the corruption. And, beloved, you think of how important it is that Christians today be good stewards and faithful. Because you know what? There are a lot of hucksters in the world. In Matthew 16, Jesus said to the disciples, "What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works." Right? There are going to be a whole lot of worldly, wealthy men and companies on the day of judgment. It's going to turn to nothing. What is the profit from their investment? Judgment. Right? Beloved, when you think very carefully about it from Scripture, the Great Commission is by far the most efficient and productive enterprise in the world. Has God's sanction and God's blessing. And so it ought to have our hearts, our lives, our support. In Jesus' life and ministry, Jesus spoke a great deal about stewardship in the kingdom of God, how our time and resources is directly related to the value that we place on the kingdom. We're to redeem the time. We're to be devoted to prayer, fasting, and the Word of God. We're not to be anxious about our food and clothing, but we're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things that we need will be added to us, right? Jesus said that God, our Father, will provide all of our needs, just as He provides for the sparrows, right? We're to be good stewards, therefore, give richly to His kingdom, as well as invest our talents in the market of His kingdom, right? Jesus said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." So we're to serve God with our money. We're not to serve our money and our possessions. In Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21, Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Why? Because of the great value of the kingdom. Remember the parables of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great price? The kingdom of heaven is invaluable. It's immeasurable to understand the value, right, of serving God. Right, that's why everything that we do for Him is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. John Chrysostom in the early church said, "The world is full of waste as well as of garbage. Beware then how you spend your money and use your time." Right, the world is full of waste. And so we need to be faithful stewards. We need to redeem the time. We need to think about how we use our time. In prayer, fasting, praying for the support and the advance of Christ's kingdom. How we use our money. Are we tithing and giving for the advance of Christ's kingdom? Because think of how many millions of dollars have been lost recently in our economy from nothing. Markets and companies that were fraudulent that went under. How much waste? Instead of going and investing in all of these fraudulent companies, what if it was going to the kingdom? What if it was going to the advance and spread of the gospel, the support of missionaries? The support of pastors and teachers instead of what happened? Collapse. Right? There's a story told during the Reformation in which a Christian man asked Peter Martyr how he could best invest his extra money. And Peter Martyr said, "Go and buy a Bible." Right? The man said, "I already have a Bible."
He said, then go buy another Bible and give it to one who doesn't. You see, that's fulfilling the Great Commission, right? If we're not preachers, then we can give a Bible and hand a Bible out. Right? We can support the advance of the gospel, right, in our work. Ambrose, an excellent father of the early church, said, let Christians grow their work in businesses and then in turn give plentifully to the work and the business of God. Right? Our businesses should support the Great Commission. The Great Commission, because there's no more profitable way. It's of eternal value. Thomas Boston said, there's no more profitable way of investing in this life than for a man to fully invest his heart and life and all that he has in the work of Christ and his kingdom in fulfillment of the Great Commission. Because you know what? The time that we have on this world is short. We're to do all that we can in our labor, in our work, in our serving God, in what we do. But it should be to the end of the advancing His glory. And then seventhly, notice the importance in the certainty and imminence of divine judgment. Beloved, there is an urgent need to fulfill the Great Commission because of the certainty and the imminence of God's judgment coming upon the world. Jesus gave the disciples the Great Commission in anticipation of the second coming, that He would be with them until the end of the age. The end of the age meant the day of judgment. And so the Great Commission is a rescue operation. And we should remember that for rescue operation and preaching the gospel and making disciples, we are calling people to flee the wrath to come, to enter the gates of salvation through Jesus Christ, right? In the anticipation of that day when they are brought before God, judged. That's why in Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. You see, those who don't repent and believe the gospel and come to Christ await a fearful judgment. And this makes the Great Commission all the more vital, all the more necessary, because the wrath and judgment of God comes. It's coming. Behold, He is coming, and every eye shall see Him, John says in the book of Revelation. You see, Jesus repeatedly warned the people of His coming, the coming of God's judgment on the world. He even warned His own disciples of the danger of hellfire and of those who are walking on a broad road that leads to destruction. He spoke of those who would be cast into hell while there would be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And He said that judgment is coming. Judgment. Unless you repent, He says, you'll all likewise perish. And that's why He told so many parables of judgment. In Matthew 13, verse 47 through 50, the seventh and final parable in chapter 13, the parables of the kingdom, He told the disciples of the parable of the dragnet, which He describes prophetically, the spread of the gospel into all of the world, the gathering of the saints as fish into a boat until the final harbor of divine judgment. And He says, on the last day, the angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the just. And that is why He gave the Great Commission. Jesus goes on to say to the disciples, because of this, they are to be good scholars that are like householders, bringing out of their treasure things new and old. Because the Great Commission is a commission under the shadow of Christ coming in judgment. Behold, He comes. Watch therefore, Jesus says, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming in judgment. James 5:8 says, the coming of the Lord draws near. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. We don't know when the day of the Lord is. No person on the world knows when their day of judgment will come, when their death comes. And there will be no more time for hearing the gospel, no more opportunities for grace and salvation, but they're brought before the judge of the world. And so there is a necessity, right? A necessity that we make disciples of all the nations, because the judgment of God is coming upon the world. It comes quickly. You know, there's a documentary I saw recently. It was a black and white documentary, but it was vivid, showing a farmer harvesting his crops. And at first, he went casually about his business until the dark clouds of the storm began to surround his farmland, the region, and he heard the shattering sounds of thunder pierce through the mountains. And then it showed how, in anticipation of that storm, he quickly increased his pace and ran through the harvest fields, gathering the wheat, lest the storm would destroy the harvest. You know what he's saying?
Right? That's just today. This is a great commission. The thunder clouds of God's wrath are forming over the mountains. They're coming. And it will soon strike. And Jesus therefore says, go and make disciples of the nations. The end of all things is at hand. The day of God's wrath and judgment is near. The time is coming where the reapers will reap the harvest. And the day of the Lord will come. And so, beloved, if we knew the terror of the Lord, the revelation of God's wrath on the day of judgment, I think we'd be more serious. If we would really see what's going to happen on the day of judgment, we would see the urgent need and necessity of fulfilling the Great Commission. And then finally, the ultimate purpose of God being glorified in the world. You know, there's an urgent need to fulfill the Great Commission because the ultimate purpose that God has is in being glorified in all the nations of the world. But I couldn't finish the sermon on the seventh point because the ultimate reason for which God created the world, the ultimate reason for which we are redeemed and brought to Christ and into His kingdom, the ultimate reason for the Great Commission is to spread the glory of God in all the world. His ultimate design is that Christ, His Son, be glorified in all the earth. And this is why the Great Commission begins with worship. Right? All the disciples came and worshiped the Lord. The end and goal of the Great Commission is not salvation of the lost, but the glory of God. It is worship. The glory of God is ultimate. It is the end and goal of missions and the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Because when this age is over, and Christ returns in power and glory, and the redeemed of the Lord are all gathered in, there will be no Great Commission. Right? It's a temporary necessity. But the glory of the Lord will never end. All the saints will be gathered together to worship and magnify His name. Worship abides forever and the glory of God will cover the earth. See, the end and design of the Great Commission is that God would be glorified over all. And that's why there is a necessity. And so there are many psalms that say that God's name will be glorified in all the earth. Psalm 72, speaking of the universal dominion of Christ over the earth, says, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be full of His glory. How's the whole earth going to be full of His glory unless disciples are sent out to preach the word, to disciple the nations? Right? That means we need missionaries. We need preachers and teachers. We need support in our prayers. As Psalm 86 verse 9 says, all the nations whom You have made shall come and worship before You, O Lord, and they shall glorify Your name. Right? All the nations are to come and glorify God. And that's the reason why there's such an important reason to fulfill the Great Commission. That's why we should have such zeal. That's why we should pursue it. Jonathan Edwards wrote a treatise called On the End for Which God Created the World, and in it he piles argument upon argument, scripture upon scripture, to show that this, quote, the great end of God's work, which is so variably expressed in Scripture, is indeed one. One. And this one end is most properly and comprehensively called the glory of God. You see, the end and purpose of the Great Commission is the end and reason for which we were created. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Is there anything more important in the world? The Great Commission brings the glory of God to the nations. The end of all of our work, our labor in life, the end for which we serve Christ in fulfilling the Great Commission, the end for which we preach the gospel, reach out to the lost, make disciples, teach Christ's word and commandments, and build God's kingdom, is ultimately for His glory. Right? And so we're to have a zeal for God's glory, and so a zeal for the Great Commission. Our zeal for the Great Commission, though, should, of course, be focused on the glory of God, the greater glory of God. And so our zeal for God must motivate us to serve His interests and establish His kingdom in our prayers, in our labors, in our service, our thoughts, in the preaching of the gospel. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our prayer. Right? And so in the Great Commission, God calls us to be, above all, to be devoted to His glory, in advancing the Great Commission in whatever way that we can, because we're His disciples and we are blessed with such a calling. In Revelation chapter 15, verse 3 through 4, the saints in heaven sing this hymn saying, great and marvelous are Your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Your ways, O King of the ages. Who will not fear You, O Lord, and bring glory to Your name? For You alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before You, for Your righteous judgments have been revealed. And you see how important, therefore, the Great Commission is for us, for our lives. It's the
greatest and most noble work that we can be involved in. And so what are we doing? How are we laboring, supporting, fulfilling, serving, and advancing the cause of Jesus Christ in the Great Commission? When we consider the multitudes that are lost in sin, the incredible need of preaching and teaching, the growing opposition to Christ in our nation, the sad state of the church, the rampant spread of false teachers, the immeasurable profit that we gain by serving Christ, the certainty and imminence of divine judgment, and ultimately the glory of God. How important it is. This is where our labor is not in vain. Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bless you and we thank you for the promise of your grace, your presence with us as we fulfill the Great Commission. In our service, in our labors, in all of our work, our support, our prayers, in our preaching and teaching, we pray that you would be glorified. We pray that that you would be exalted in our lives and you would advance your kingdom in all the world in the making of disciples. And Father, we do pray for all the saints, all your preachers and teachers in your church today, that your word would go forth in power and victory. We pray that you'd bring revival and reformation to our nation, that Christ would be exalted, and that we would be servants in helping fulfill this great cause, the great commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.